There we go. So hi, everybody, and welcome to our content call, our content review and support call for the module on history taking. And this is one of my favorite questions because I love to be the inquisitor. I love to ask questions. And I think this is a piece that regardless of where you get trained, except if you're trained in homeopathy, because I think they do like the best job of this part, the history taking. But for the most part, most practitioners I've run into, most doctors, nurse practitioners, et cetera, they just don't do a thorough enough history. And I think that's where you get really 90% of everything. The tests are, you know, addition, the physical signs, but the history gives you so much. And I think we really just need to work on that and practice it, practice being a three-year-old, really, practice being a three-year-old and ask the good old question, why? Everything is a why, because what you want to get to is, why is this symptom happening? Why is the thyroid not working properly? It's not because they were born with a bum thyroid most of the time, right? Why is it not working? What are some of the stressors? So all those questions. So we're going to go through and I'm going to just point out some salient points and how you can use this module to really hone in your skills, because the person that asks the best questions gets the best answers and can hone in and get the best results. Does that make sense? So who wants to get great results?
Yes.
Who wants to really get to know the person well enough to know what's going on? And I think, Claudia, you know this. You do this with eyes, right? You have a very thorough history that you do. Like, what are you doing when you were four and you first started having to wear glasses? And what was, you know, so you do that already when it comes to eyes. And I just want you to expand that same curiosity, right? We want to approach our clients with wonder and curiosity. Gee, I wonder why that's happening. Gee, I'm really curious, right? And what I always would get, and this started when I was first in the clinic at school, right? I took everything seriously. And people would say, oh my God, nobody ever asked me that before. Nobody's ever done such a thorough history. And then we find something, you know, some little gem of information that sets the pace for what you're going to do and how you're going to approach it. Because you're going to approach somebody very differently depending on what that underlying root cause is. All right, there's little Max. So what I'm going to do is share my screen. I'm going to have to move it over for a bit so I can fit it in on my screen. There we go. So I will then say share screen. You know, it's so weird. The only thing that won't show up on that share screen will only show up on the main screen. Just so you know. Okay, let me find my screen. There we go. Not the whole screen. I just want to go here. All right. And then I can pull you guys back over. Okay, so do you see my screen? Yes? Nod your heads, yes? Okay, good. So we're in where, you know, you're very familiar with this area. It's our INE site. And what I did was I got to the history taking module by going off to the side, clicking on the down arrow next to nutritional endocrinology, and going to history taking. Okay. So if you've completed the modules before that, you will see history taken. If you haven't, then you won't, unless you joined us more than 2 years ago and then you see everything, because that's the way it was set up. All right. So does everybody see this on their screen? Okay, good. All right. And like I said last month, because we went through micronutrients, which is a huge module, you may not want to wait until you finish all of micronutrients before you start working on history taking. And if that's the case, then reach out to good old Lynn. And Lynn has a really cool form and she'll just go in and open it up for you. Because I don't think we should, you know, I think micronutrients is just like, it's like an entity in itself. And micronutrients could be a whole program in and of itself that could take you a year to go through if you wanted it to, if you really want to learn it thoroughly. So as is usual for all of our stuff, we have the learning objectives. And I highly encourage you to read the learning objectives because it gives you an idea when you start it of what you're looking for and what you're looking to learn in this part of the program. So understand the importance of a thorough history. I think I'm really emphasizing that here, but we go into that more in the core content. Learn the components of a thorough history. be able to use a short history to get the overview of the case and then determine which of the detailed evaluations are important for going deeper. Because you could overwhelm somebody and they'd never come back to see you if you just, you know, handed them a whole stack of questionnaires about everything. And you'd also lose them if you just tried to ask all those questions because you'd have to schedule a 5-hour interview. So it's really a matter of doing that first evaluation, getting really comfortable with what's going on with them and what's important for them, and then knowing, well, you know, this person sounds like we really need to do a detailed dental history because seems like blah, 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 this was happening. Or we really need to go in deep and look at the environmental and the EMF kind of exposures. So let's go there. Or a hormonal, you know, adrenal kind of thing. So then you want to develop the skill of creating rapport, right? And so the thing about questions is if you're not doing it from a place of wonder and curiosity, it could feel like an interrogation, right? And it could feel like you're trying to find the fault and find a blame. And, you know, people can be intimidated by it. And a lot of times the folks that we're seeing already have a little bit of, you know, they're already kind of down on themselves a bit, or they're feeling a little bit like put upon. So it's really, I think, important to establish that rapport right from the beginning. We want to be able to understand the importance of asking about environmental and emotional factors, not just the nutritional stuff, not just the health history. You want to get comfortable asking them questions about their diet and habits in an honest way, again, because sometimes they feel guilty. I'm doing this, I'm doing it wrong. To ask it in a way that's wonder and curiosity rather than, you know, accusatory. Well, it's all your fault that you did this. Of course, you're smoking cigarettes and, you know, and drinking Mountain Dew every day. Of course you're sick, you know, just stop doing that, you know, and then I'll work with you. You can't do that. You get comfortable motivating them to do the diet records. Those are the hardest things to get them to do, but they're the most telling. And even some of the back and forths we have on the Facebook group, you might see it. Somebody will say, I blah, 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 and I'm having these symptoms. And I go back and I just ask my step-by-step questions and I'll say, write down everything you ate for the last couple of days and just look. And they go, oh, it was the such and such. But they wouldn't have known that or made that correlation unless they actually recorded it. So it's really important. And if you haven't done it yourself, do a 3-5 day diet record where you keep track of symptoms, you keep track of what you're eating, how much you're drinking, what are you doing, how you're pooping, what's your mood like, and really keep track of it because you may find some interesting things yourself. Like, oh yeah, I was wondering why I always got bloated after that. It was related to that 4 grams of vitamin C I was taking right before I had my peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever. And then become familiar with the scorecard evaluations so that you can interpret them. And we'll go through some of those. I think they get people confused, but they also provide so much value when they finally understand it. Because then they have a way that they can assess themselves at the beginning. And then they can take a break in the middle and go, oh, I've been doing this for 2 months. Let me see how it's going. And then they can do it further down the road. You can't do that with lab tests, right? Because they cost a lot of money. And a lot of them require invasive stuff. You have to go get them to a lab to draw blood, or they have to poop in a cup for 3 days or whatever. So we want to be able to have these subjective type of assessments that give us information. And the more you do this, the longer you're doing it, the more you're going to be able to understand and educated guess at what's going on with the person just from listening and taking a good history. And what I find is that people are relatively new to this, and especially for MDs moving over from conventional medicine into functional medicine, it's right away, lab, lab, lab. What lab should I do for that? What lab should I do for that? And honestly, I'd like to save people money on labs and just do the labs that are really up at that point where we're not getting the information from their history or from the other things, or they have been doing, you know, everything you could possibly think of and you want to look at the labs. But let's just be judicious, not just about their money, their financials, but about the overwhelm that can happen when you do too many lab tests up front. And then now they're confronted with these 5,000 things that are out of balance. And now they're more upset because they're overwhelmed. Right? So being careful about that and getting enough of the history to know what labs are really going to be important to do. And then another objective is to create a library of forms you can use with your client to get that thorough history. And we've provided a lot of that. So I'm going to skip right to the done for you resources, because I want to show you what we have here. Because I mean, this took me many, many years to get all this stuff together, and like year after year, I kept working and working, and I'm just giving it to you, you know, as part of this program. So you don't have to, and I'm giving it to you in both doc form and PDF form. So if you like the form as is, go for it. Just hand it to your client or send it to them as a PDF and get them to fill it out, or put it into a, or you could put it into a Google Doc. I mean, Google Form. Google Forms now, it's free, right? It used to be you had to pay a lot of money. When I first started doing this, even just like 4 or 5 years ago, we paid a lot of money for a program, and we've got most of our forms in there right now, right? And it's like, oh, Google Drive can do this. Google Forms can do this just as well, and sometimes better with a nicer user interface. So, you know, the mastering the nutritionally oriented client history, those are things that's probably not something that you're going to give to a client. So I don't know why we have it there, but the rest of them, you know, the strategy session, right? You may have some specific stuff that you want to ask because you're a homeopath, and homeopaths ask if you like eggplant, and do you like it when there's a draft on your head, or, you know, those some kind of the things that they're asking that mean a lot when you're doing a homeopathic evaluation. If you happen to do more eye stuff like Claudia, right, you're going to ask more vision related stuff, right? If you're finding that, you've been studying EMFs and you know that there's so much more with the EMFs, you're going to include some of that into that form. But it's that form is intended to be very generic. So we'll go through them as we go. So there's all kinds. And this one I want to point out is the ready and willing assessment. Does anybody know what that one is? Has anybody used that one? Like, you're going to work with somebody and you don't want to get three sessions in and just keep getting the, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I can't do that. No, I don't want to. Sounds like your mom, right? Or your sister, or your brother, or your kid, right? No, no, no. Don't work with them. Find out right up front. If you're getting that sense that they're, yeah, don't take them on unless that's what you like, right? But to me, I'm at the point where like, hey, you don't want to do this. You're not ready to do this. You're not willing. I'll just say, look, I want you to come back when you're really ready to do this, because what I'm going to ask you to do, and this is what I told people on the Sweet Spot call today, I said, you know, what I'm going to ask you to do is not just to, you know, take a glass of water and take a handful of pills and swallow them down. That's not it. I don't have solutions like that. Yeah, you might have to take some supplements and herbs and things, but that's not it. You're going to have to do some work. And you're going to have to do some work on your lifestyle, on your thought patterns, and your diet. And if you're not ready or willing to do that, then let's work, let's check this out again in a year, because I don't think you're the right person for this. And you got to get to the point where you feel like you can do that. And you know what you're going to find is those people, those same people are going to come back and say, oh, but I really do want to work. And then suddenly they soften. And suddenly that rebellious kind of combative nature that they're professing, if they really want help, they'll go, oh, but please take me on. I think I do. And they try to prove to you that they are worthy of having your care. So it really just shifts it around. Then you trying to be like, oh, am I good enough? Can I do this with you? And proving it and trying to take on everybody is you get selective. You get selective. And the more you get selective, the more your practice is going to grow, because people are going to really respect you more. Anybody have any experience with that? Yes. Lynn says yes. Anybody ever experienced that in their life? Yeah, right? Because they want it. They're just like, that's just their, they've learned to be combative because they're defensive. And if you can break through the defensive that way, it's great. Oh, and then we have at the bottom, a private coaching pre-call form. What is that, Lynn? I don't remember seeing that there before. Oh, it's a template. So if you wanted to, before you have session with people, this is what we started to use before we have a session with people.
That's why you had them put that on here, because so many people were saying, what can they send them before a call?
Before a call, right. Right. So here it is. So just you just download this, copy it into your own Google area, and you can make your own copy of it. And then they fill it out. I find that the people who come to the call, having thought about what they want from you, the session with you, are more likely to be present more. And then plus you can get this in advance, hopefully, and then you're more present and prepared for them, and you know what to expect when they get to the call. So I think it's a great thing to do. Yeah, thank you. I didn't remember that we added that there. And now we have a whole bunch more forms. Look at all these. So all the seven pillars, we have individual parts for the seven pillars, and you can pick and choose and make your own from these. Start a Google form account, make up your own food frequency. I love the food frequency one because people will say, well, you know, I don't eat much of that. I don't eat much of that. And then you look and you're like, what do you mean you don't eat much gluten? You're eating it at every meal. Well, I didn't know that was gluten. Oh, but it's only a little bit. Oh, you know, and then they start to see it. So I like the food frequency. There's some measurements. So this is a whole page of stuff that you don't have to develop. The scorecards. Oh, we actually gave you the docs of them. Good. Oh, yeah. I can't open them as a doc. I mean, you can save them as a doc, but you can't open it. So I'll open this. So what you have as a doc is you've got this, but it's as a doc, D-O-C, you know, a Word doc. So you can go in and change some of these and change the wording if you don't like it, add some extra questions of your own. I just encourage you, if you do add some extra questions, that you're going to have to change your scoring on this, right? You're just going to have to change your scoring. So if you add five more questions, you're going to have to say it's a score out of, you know, instead of a total possible, and seven questions, seven times three is 21. If you had five more questions, that's 15 more. So it's 21 plus 15, 36. So their score is out of the 36. And then they can figure out the percentage and put it on there. What I find a lot of times with people, that's why I like doing them on forms. That's more sophisticated, our scorecard forms, because it's not every software will do that. I don't think you can do that in Google Forms, is it'll calculate it for them. But when they have to add this up, these brain fogged people and fatigued people, they're going, oh, well, what percentage? If I have 27 out of 54, what percentage is that? You have to take them back to third grade math and go, yeah, times 100 equals, yeah. Anyway. But you can do these however you want. You've got a wealth of information here. Wealth of information. I mean, I can't tell you how many hours and years this has taken me to develop. All right. So we'll go back to, we got the learning objectives. Your pretest, I didn't remember how extensive the pretest is on here. And again, pretests are just for you to figure out what, it's not for me to look and say, oh, Claudia, she didn't know much of anything, does she? No, it's for you to go, oh, I have to really look at this. So here's one. A mnemonic that can help you remember what to ask you during a history of the chief complaint is, right? Help me. There you go. But it's actually OPQRST, onset, palliative and provocative, quality, radiation, site and timing. So it's just a way that we remember how to ask some of those things. I have a pain in my elbow. Okay. When did it start? What makes it better? What makes it worse? What's the quality? Is it sharp? Is it dull? Is it throbbing? Does it radiate? Does it go down to your hand? Does it go up to your shoulder? And then the exact site. Oh, it's right there, right? And then the timing. It only happens when I'm hitting a baseball with a baseball bat, you know? Oh, okay. So it gives you some ideas of why things are going on. Okay, so that's your pretest. Your core content. There's a lot in core content. And before we had this site, we had this on a different site where all the videos were on one page. And I remember somebody started the program and she said to me, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I went into that history module and there's like 12 videos or what is it? 9 videos, whatever it is. She goes, I don't even know where to start. I'm like, well, you could start with one. When you finish one, you could go to two. When you finish two, you can go to three. And that's what happens with our clients, right? If we give them a whole smorgasbord of stuff, even if we have it step by step by step by step, if there's too many steps in one place, they get overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. Even though it's logical to us when we say it, we'll just start with one. It feels overwhelming. So that's why we did it and we put them on separate pages. But keep that in mind when you're giving, you know, you've just done initial consultation and you can think of 12 things that this person could be doing differently. Don't give them all 12. Give them three at the most. Three at the most. That's what the human mind can handle. Three. And then when they've mastered those, then you give them three more and three more and three more. All right. It's really, really important. Otherwise you lose them. So, and as usual, once you finish it, it'll get checked off when you finish it on this page. So if I go to part one, which is the introduction, I had so much fun putting this module together. I did this like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, a long time ago, but I loved putting this module together. So, we're basically, how long is this history taking? It's a 30 minute video. On an introduction to history taking. And if you like transcripts, you look at the transcripts, you can look at the slides to give you an overview of what's going to be in there. I recommend that you either print the slides or the transcript while you're watching the video so you can take notes and you can highlight things in the transcript. Be forgiving about transcripts because transcripts tend to be verbatim and we tend not to speak the same way as we would write. Because I may start a sentence and then I think of something else and I say something else and then I come back and finish the sentence. And that looks really dumb in writing, but it doesn't sound so bad in speaking, right? So transcripts are, you know, unless you go back and hire a writer to make them flow, they can be kind of wacky. So what's in here, I'm just going to show you in the printer friendly slides. What it includes, what's actually included in a functional assessment, the history taking skills, questionnaires and surveys, analysis, physical evaluation, Eastern body diagnosis, nutritional deficiencies, all this. And in our physical exam piece, we do go into some of the Eastern stuff and the dental history. Well, the dental history, I think, is in here. So then this is just telling you, this is just taking you through the overview of why this stuff is so important. I spoke for 30 minutes with 7 slides. So, a lot of speaking and not a lot of narrative on the slides. All right. The Master Health Tracker. Helene, do you know if this is the latest version of it? This is an XLS. We probably need to make a note to put the link to the Google, the one that's protected that they can't write in, but they can copy also to put here. I mean, you can certainly welcome to do it as an XLS, but I know a lot of people do Mac. And what happens with in the Mac version is sometimes our formulas get wacky. So whereas we might be using a formula to convert and do a color code, it doesn't work sometimes in the Mac version. So I think it's good to do it in the Google Doc or use the Excel and download it. Okay. So mastering the clinically. Okay. So this is what's inside of our master tracker, I'm assuming, goals and obstacles. Yeah, all these different pieces. We should do a whole separate session on the master tracker because there's a lot in there. We do have on the master tracker sheet resources, NEPT, master health tracker. I believe there are some videos.
There's probably like 5 or 6 videos on the different parts of it.
So can we also put the note down that I want to link to this page from this history taking page? Does that make sense? Right. So then they can, it's all linked together. So right here where it says Master Health Tracker, we'll put the link to the Google Doc and then we'll put in a link to where you can watch the videos to describe how to use the Master Tracker. Mastering the nutritionally oriented physical. This is an overview and I like this doc because it's just to keep you on target with folks. So if you are working with somebody, you may want to print this off or have it in a folder with them and just check off the things you think are going to be needed for these people, right? Because they're not going to need all of it for everyone, but it's a very good summary of everything that you want to know. And you may not need to know it all up front, right? And what else is on this page? History taking guidelines, history taking shortcut. So these are some of those acronyms, the OPQRST, and then there's the ABCDEF. So it explains exactly what these mean. And then how to take a pain history. There's a little bit more stuff that you want to add to the pain history. What is the ABC? Ah, here we go. A, B, C, D, E, F, D. Associated symptoms, better with, contributing factors, duration, effect on day-to-day activities and frequency. You can use whichever one of those you prefer to use. mock forms. Oh, this is the link to what we've been using, what we were using or have been using. We've kind of switched to starting to use more in our Google Docs. We actually are not switching everything from mock forms to Google Docs. We've switched some because we have a programmer that did some custom coding for us in here to make it do all those the scorings. But if you are looking to do some of the fancy scoring things, there's a lot more options than there were back a few years ago. So you can look for something that will do the scoring for you. All right. Any questions so far? We're good? Is this useful or is this just repetition? It's helpful? Yeah? Okay. Then, you know, we have the demographics, right? What's their goals and what are the demographics? You know, demographics are height, weight, blah, 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 blah. You know, sounds kind of boring. But the goals are really important. And that's the piece that a lot of people miss. What do they really, if their goal is to just be able to walk across the room versus to be able to run a marathon within the next year, there's going to be a lot more of an aggressive plan that they're going to have to take on if they're going to want to do something more aggressive. So we do the demographics, you know what all that stuff is. And then we look at their goals. What's their 5-year, their 1-year, their 90-day, and their 1-month goal. And I find that if we skip this piece with people, what happens is they don't stay committed. When it gets hard, they don't stay committed. And when you do this and you have this written down for them and they start to go off track, then you can always bring them back. So, is it just that vision of seeing yourself playing the piano again? Is that not important to you anymore? Well, no, it is. Okay. So, you know, and then you can help them to get back on track when you know that stuff. So I think it's a really important piece.
Can I talk back again about the demographics?
Yeah.
That can be important because there might be some cultural things involved, as well as demographics with age. You know, younger people do things differently than somebody who was born in the 40s or 50s or even 60s. It's, you know, and then if, like, somebody who lives in my area might be doing something different than if they were from Canada or Mexico or any other place around the world. So
and the culture of food, right? There's differences in the foods that people will gravitate towards.
People are, you know, sweet tea. Everybody drinks sweet tea.
Oh, yeah, sweet tea. I didn't even know what sweet tea was when I moved to Texas. What the heck is sweet tea? What does that mean?
Exactly. So that I just wanted to put a little plug into why that might require a little more of your attention.
Yeah, totally. And we also have on here some of the initial forms you can use. So these are a couple we've used. The strategy session intake form, I usually use this as if you're going to do a strategy session with somebody to see if you're going to work together. This is the online version of that. Wow, that's an old one. Okay. And then we make a note of that. That should have been moved to the new site. That should not be there. Health and habits. I think all of these might be in the old site. Yeah, these all have to be.
Yeah, moved. We've been moving them over. I've been having her in between bigger projects, having her
there. Everything over. From the site was moved over there. It's just a matter of getting the link.
Not everything, but we are getting there. So I'll make a note again to have that stuff moved over.
Okay. And then the values, visions, and goals summary. Yeah, those are those. You should have PDFs or docs of these on the last page. Okay, so demographics. Now, chief complaint. It's not enough to just have somebody say, I have headaches, right? We know that. How often do you have headaches? Where are the headaches located? Are there other symptoms associated? How long have they been going on? What time of month do you get the headaches? What time of day do you get the headaches? Right? We're trying to figure out what could be the cause. Do you get any other pains in your body? Oh, whenever I get a headache, I get this pain on my right side. Well, maybe that's related to liver toxicity, right? That they've got something going on there. So you want to be able to get that information. So it's really important to know how to do that. So if we look at the slides, this goes back through those shortcuts, right? The associated symptoms. And we want to look at what are their, all their exposures. And these are the kind of things you want to be looking at. Review of their body systems is really important to do when you're trying to understand them. Do you have a, I have headaches. That's the only thing I want to work on. Well, no, I don't want to work on my chest yet. Okay, so tell me more about that. So how are you breathing? Oh, I've got asthma. I take an inhaler. That's okay. I just want to get rid of my headaches. You know, oh, yeah, I wake up in the middle of the night 3 times to pee. But I don't have any problems there. I just have headaches. Just help me with my headaches, right? So it helps you to see the big picture. And this is really important. And I found when I first learned this and I was in clinic, I was shocked at how many people just glossed over this stuff. How many people had been in practice for years glossed over this stuff? And so when my friends and colleagues would come to me and say, well, how come you, you know, how do you have so much success with this or that or the other thing? I'm like, I get a good history. I'm not any smarter than you. I'm just doing the way I was taught to do this. I get a good history. And then my computer brain is going, well, I know this and I know that and that symptom. And, you know, I have dark urine or I have this or that. And we can pull it all together. And that's why you're going to learn a lot more. And I think this is a good module to go through at the beginning. So you have that sense and you know what you're looking for, but you're going to want to probably go back through this. The more you get into the modules and the more you understand the physiology and the biochemistry and the pathophysiology of what's going on. So these are really important basics. So I highly recommend you take your time with this stuff. I don't know how long some of these are.
Yes.
I think most of them are somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes is what I'm thinking. I like this one, the top 10 health challenges, just because we're hoping that people don't have 10. Because some people say to me, I don't have 10. What should I write for the others? I said, well, leave them blank. Okay. Not applicable. Oh, yeah, all of these are the old ones. I know for a fact that this one's on the new site because we use it for ERC. And they put in, what are their health challenges? And I think so on a scale of 1 to 10, how severe is it? So they may have a challenge that they rate as a 10, but it's not a high priority. I've seen that, right? So their priority is, I want to get this salve right away, and it's only a 3, maybe because that 3 is getting, that particular symptom is getting in the way of them playing the guitar or, you know, doing certain things at work. So I like to get these things, I like to get these things in the middle. Let's see. We should also set them to open in a new tab. Can you write that down, Lynn? To open them in a new tab. And this is the body systems. You guys have seen all this. This is the subjective one. We have a body systems one where they answer questions and you just check off and you get a number. But this is where they actually get to write. What do they see, feel about their musculoskeletal system, their neurologic, their cardiovascular? I think we might have a newer form that has all of this stuff together on it. All right. So any questions on any of that? Am I putting anybody to sleep? Is this good? You understand why this is important? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when you say neurological, do all the clients know what all these, do they know what is a cardiovascular and like, do they know all the differences between these systems? I wonder, because it's very like, you know, our lingo, our verbiage. Versus-
yeah, and that's a good point. And you can, you know, I tend to have, I've developed some of these because I tend to attract people who are just like you, you know, you're like, oh, I want to know this stuff. I want to understand. And I get these people and you've seen some of these people in our ERC program, but you can easily change any of these.
Okay.
Like you want to say your heart and your lungs, or you want to say your nerves or, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. I was just wondering because when I say, you know, how long have you had myopia? They're like,
what?
They don't even know if they're near or farsighted sometimes, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So feel free to change the languaging. Yeah. Lynn, what would you say about that? Do most people understand neurologic symptoms versus musculoskeletal versus genital?
Well, most of the people I work with must be like yours. They usually, by the time I see somebody, they've seen lots of doctors or practitioners and they've become well versed on it. If they don't, I educate them. Yeah. I don't mind saying the words because it actually gives them a sense of confidence in me that I know these words, you know? And so, so far it hasn't been an issue, but that's
one of the, I don't know what a musculoskeletal thing is. And if they're, you know, savvy enough, they can just go into Google and go.
And you ask them, you know, you ask them as you're going through it. It's like, do you understand what this means?
Yeah.
It's just another way to gather that conversation relationship with them.
I also think it's helpful for them to get that lingo so that when they are talking to their doctors and they start to say things like that just poke holes in, you know, they go, oh, well, you just some dodo, you don't understand. But they start to use words like endocrinology and musculoskeletal and genitourinary and ocular and myopia. Then the doctor, they tend to have a better relationship with that. The doctor will respect them more than if they just say, my eye hurts, I can't see. Yeah. So, you know, it helps them to have that rapport and relationship. And what we really have to teach people is how to be advocates for themselves, right? We have to teach them how to actually stand up in a broken Western medical world and say, I demand different care. I demand you look at me and take me seriously. And yeah, so somebody came on one of our calls earlier and said, I have no diagnoses, but I have a ton of symptoms. I like, that's the classic, right? There's no box that Western medicine can put you in because your symptoms don't match any of the preformed ideas. So they just say, you're fine. Here's some Valium. Maybe you just need to sleep, you know? And so the more we teach them about how things work, I've had clients come to me and say, my doctor fired me. I said, what do you mean? I said, I asked for a thyroid. I gave them what I wanted. They came back and just did me TSH and T4. And I said, no, I need this. And they said, we don't need that. And I explained to them why. And they said, well, you need to find a different doctor. Because I was about to say to this person, you should fire your doctor. I said, my doctor fired me. Great. That's the way they feel threatened if these people know too much. And we need people to know too much. We need them to know as much as they can. So yeah, on the one hand, maybe what you would do is you'd put neurologic symptoms in parentheses. Things related to your nerves, your brain, right? Whatever. That might be a good way to educate people. And maybe we should do that maybe within our stuff as well, because that helps the education part. But that's a good question.
Yeah. But you're also, you know, we give them lots of tools, and that's one of the tools we give them is a new set of languaging. And Martha said, you know, an insurance questionnaire will have some of these same words too. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, what was I just going to say? You said that the insurance form. No, it'll come back to me. I think it's really good to educate people so that they can have these endocrinology was the word. So when I started talking to somebody about what I do, it was a marketing person. And I said, well, I teach nutritional endocrinology. I said, well, they said, nobody understands what that is. I said, the people who need it understand what it is. And the practitioners who hear it want that because they want to have that elevated status within their community. And I said, but, you know, people who have been to an endocrinologist who have hormone imbalances, they're going to know what endocrinology is. So while I don't, you know, necessarily put nutritional endocrinology out into the public space and say, oh yeah, come here if you want nutritional endocrinology. When I do put that term out, the people that I really want to attract end up coming in because they're like, oh yeah, nutrition and endocrinology, what a great combination. Yeah, let's work together. So, all right, what else? Nutrition, exercise, and sleep are favorites, right? Three of the habits, three of the skills. So we have some stuff on how do you take questions on that. We have your dietary habits, your food frequently checklist, your fitness tests, and your sleep. And these are critical. We can't just jump right in. And I do see a lot of people making mistakes in this area. Functional medicine doctors, for example, like they're jumping right into, oh, you have an imbalance of this hormone and that neurotransmitter and this nutrient, and let's just get you on these things. But they're not really looking at, is this person sleeping? How much are they exercising? Are they exercising too much for their particular state? Are they not exercising enough? And certainly looking in depth at the nutrition is way important. So these are the things you guys already know how to do and do well. But this is important as well, because what I like to do is get a good, thorough medication history. And I actually have a tracker. Oh, wait, I keep forgetting not to click that one. Are these all Excels? Yeah. Yeah, so you want to ask them good questions about their dietary habits, but their medication. So this is just a simple one. Where's the one? I think it's this one, but we don't have a PDF. We should have a PDF of that one up. So it could just be printed, the diet, supplements, and medication tracker. It's in the master tracker, so I'll just open it up in there, because I think it's really important with both supplements and with medications that we get all the information that they have. And if they don't have it, that they try to get. Because some people are taking... Okay, this is all the master tracker stuff. So this is the latest update. Well, no, there's a more updated one than that. I started to put a little index, but I never finished it. So this one was a while back. Okay, let's see. Medications. So when you have them write what medications they're on, if they are, the name of the medication, but you want the exact name, right? Because you want not just the generic, not just the name label, but if it's a branded one, you want to be able to look that up and know what the generic is. And if it's generic, then you want to be able to look that up as well. So what is it? And I have them do not just what they're currently taking, but what have they taken over the past several months? Because they may have just stopped taking a medication that's causing a set of symptoms that they're experiencing. And you're like, why are they experiencing these symptoms? And it turns out it's a side effect of a medication they'd be taking for 5 weeks and just stopped a week ago. What are they taking it for? And a lot of times it's shocking to me. People don't ask, why are you prescribing this medication? And they'll be on like 3 or 4 medications and they don't know what they're for. So this helps them to hone in. I go, well, why did your doctor give you this, right? Why? Oh, it was because I had headaches or I had sinus stuff or whatever. It's important for you to know that, but for them too, to know that. How much are they taking? Are they taking it first thing in the morning? Are they taking it 3 times a day? What's the milligrams? When they started it, approximately, most people don't know the exact date they started a medication. Oh, you know, in 2018, the early part. Great. You put that down. Now, if aren't taking it currently, and they have been taking it over the last few months, you have them put in the date they stopped and why. Do they have I got a rash when I was taking this, so I stopped it, right? So you want to keep track of these things, because sometimes their symptoms and what they're presenting with is related to how their medications are either the individual side effects or interactions with each other, or how the medications are interacting with their supplements or their food. So I think it's super important to get this kind of history. It used to be I paid a whole bunch of money and I had this really cool software and I plug medications in. Now you get it for free on Google. So you can just look anything you want up when they give it to you, and you can look up any medication. You go to drugs.com, and that's just one of the sites, and you put it in and it will show you the interactions, the mechanisms. And here's the thing I find. I'm a biochemistry geek. So when I ask them about a medication, I want to know what the mechanism is. So if somebody tells me they were on an SSRI and, oh my God, it worked great, except they had side effects, but sure helped their mood. That to me tells me what pathway that's working on is something that was blocked for them. So what can we do from a nutritional and natural standpoint to help restore that particular pathway? But if they say, you know, the doctor put me on these SSRIs, Prozac or whatever, and I was on it for 6 months and I didn't get any better, but I developed a rash, I got this and I got that, then you know that probably their depression or anxiety or whatever they took it for is not really a serotonin deficiency. You see what I'm saying? So it helps us, the stuff that works for them, but also the stuff that doesn't work for them. And this is similar in our supplement tracker. You want to know the similar things. The brand name's always important because sometimes they're taking brand names. And when you look it up, it's Costco brand and it's got shellac in it and it's coated with some sort of a Carmela, whatever stuff on the front. And they're not even absorbing it, right? Versus a really good form versus the liquid, et cetera. So the more you can get people to fill this out or you fill this out with them to get a good history of what the supplements are, because if you just start throwing supplements at them and they're already taking something that's similar or didn't work, or they took it 3 years ago and they got a rash, they're not going to trust you if you start telling them to take some supplements. So I like to get their supplement history. And I always like to tell them, you know, my goal is to get you on as little supplementation as possible. But is that going to happen? Probably not, because of the world and because of the EMFs and because of the soil depletions and all that. But I'd like to get as much as possible from whole foods and from your lifestyle. But we're starting out here. And sometimes people are on too many supplements and I end up taking them off supplements because they're on way, way, way too much. And the interactions, we don't even know what some of the interactions might be. So get a good supplement history. When we used to work in an office, I'd have them just bring in your supplements and we'll put this together. And some people would come in with shopping bags full of stuff, like lots and lots of money that they spent. I have two others in here just so that you know, the supplements to add and supplements discontinued. And the to add you can use if you wanted to while you're talking to somebody and you decide, I'd really like you to try these three things. Don't put it into their current. They're not taking it yet. Put them into their to add. And then ask them to do it one at a time and report back how it works. So that's the story there. Let's see. I could, like I said, we did actually, I'll show you where else you can find more on the Master Health Tracker. I think we did like a 2 or 3 hour thing on it 1 year in the retreat. Not going backwards.
It was when we were in Florida.
And yes.
Those are in the under the events tab and then practitioners.
Okay, it's back. Opening these in a new tab would be helpful. So if you want to find those, if you go to live events, practitioner retreats, and what year was that? We don't have 17 or 18 in here.
There's nothing for 17. 18's there. She just must not have put it there.
Oh,
she put it on the other side. Yeah. But I think it's in 16. I don't know what happened to 17.
Yeah, so the retreat schedule, all this other stuff, handouts, etc. I think it was like the last day. So these aren't.
It was because
of the videos.
It was because it was completely, we were so late. We were like there till like 10:30 at night or
something. Nobody wanted to leave. Like they were like, let's keep going.
So everybody's working together. Right. I think we're kind of,
it was sometime towards the end of the last day. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Let's go back to where we came from. All right. So any questions on this piece, the environment, the medications? There's a detox capacity that's an important one to do. Because you know some people, you put them on a detox program and they feel like crap, right? They have their sluggish detoxifiers. So you can ask them questions and get a sense of how well they're detoxifying. And their environment and exposures. These are all super important questions to get because, you know, so many times that, you know, they may be eating beautifully, et cetera, but then suddenly they are having all these problems because they sleep with the alarm clock 3 feet, you know, 3 inches from their head. They have their cell phone next to them. They have a Wi-Fi. They're in an environment where there's a tower nearby. They have mold in their house. All of these things are super important to find out. Okay, what else? Exposures. Dental. We we really don't do as much of a dental evaluation. And, you know, you get a general dental evaluation initially, but I think that it's really important to look at this, especially when people are trying a lot of things and not getting well. What's going on with their teeth? So I have a presentation. I think it's probably short, 7 minutes, okay? It's not long. And then you can look at the slides. But I've given you in here some of the Chinese medicine approaches to it. So you want to know the basic stuff, fillings, root canals, bridges, crowns, etc. Do they have this stuff? Do they grind their teeth? Do they have gum disease? Gum disease can be related to nutritional deficiencies, etc. But then here I've given you some additional information, and this is where the fun part comes in. The tooth organ relationship and the tooth emotions relationship. So it relates it back to, in Chinese medicine, the particular meridian, and then what parts of the body. Western medicine down here. So I love this thing. I didn't create it. It's a Klinghart thing, but it's wonderful, wonderful chart that I would highly recommend you print out and even fill out for people. So if they go, I've had a root canal over here, I have this. Well, what does a root canal on tooth 22? And they say, I have trouble digesting fats, right? And we go, oh, okay. Maybe it's related to the liver gallbladder related to that tooth. So it's a really, really nice way to look at things, but also the emotions. I think this is also a Klinghart. No, this is a different one. Okay. Go to these sites for more information and you can go in more depth, but it'll still relate it to the area of the body, the Western area of the body. It'll still relate it to the meridian, but then you have the emotions. So if they have, you know, say somebody's had a problem with tooth 17, and are they stuck in grief? Are they stuck, you know, in feeling lonely and all of these things? So it may help you to make a relationship. What can you do about it? Well, you just have to do some work on those areas. I mean, you're not going to restore the tooth, but it will give you some root cause of what's going on. Make sense? So these are just helpful. There's a lot of things that I find, and I print them out and I keep them in a little booklet. I don't know where it is, but I had these little booklets and I would sit with people when I was doing an evaluation and I'd show them, right? Oh, look at this. Look at this. So it really helps them to see and understand the connections. And I just like to have them as my reference guide. So I have a little booklet of all my reference charts. Dental, the past health and family history. This is critical. And you can tie this in with genetics, right? Do they have a severe line of diabetics in their family, etc. And what are these? Just asking them what kind of illnesses they've had, injuries, surgeries, hospitalizations, childhood illnesses, prenatal care. That's something a lot of people don't ask about. You know, what was mom under a lot of stress when she was pregnant with this? Was she exposed? Was she a drug addict? Was she smoking? My mom smoked cigarettes and drank wine while she was pregnant with me. Do you think that might have had something to do with my health, my immune system problems, my having tonsils out when I was 4 and having a hernia when I was a month old and having a bone tumor when I was 9? You think anything had to do with the exposures like that? I think they did. I totally think they did. So we want to find those things out and help them to see, hey, so you've had some bad stuff in your past. Now you have to be ultra careful now to keep yourself in balance. And it really helps. I find that knowing that stuff and going through that with people really helps to get their commitment, really helps them to get committed to doing what it takes to overcome that. And so you have these histories and the assessments. I don't think this is a very long.
The next section.
10 minutes. Yeah. All right. What's next? And then the scorecards and the wrap up. All right. So the scorecards are these ones you've seen a lot where they fill it out. And any of these that you go here, you can click and you can get access to the PDF. And then if you go to your last page with your done for you, you'll get it as a doc. Okay. And so they get a score and they get this way to go. We have some ways to track it in the Master Health Tracker. I incorporated the ready and willing assessment here under the scorecards. It's just a really important thing to do. And then every page has this place where you can put a note. So if you got partially way through there and you wanted to do some things, you can put a note here. Rita Marie's. And then when I come back, whoops, I said cancel instead of save. Now, when I come back and I log in again, I'm going to see my notes here. So if you have a note that says, I watched partially through this video up to minute whatever, I want to look up this or that, you can come back and look at your notes at any point in time. That's true of most of your pages. And that's that. That's it for your core content. Any questions on that before we just
go? I have a question. So the phone that you just showed, that the PDF is clear, you can download it. But if you send these assessments to your clients, how do you get them out of the NAPT site? Like, how do you get them?
You can't send them my online ones. Those are more for you to see.
I see. That's what I was wondering. Okay. Yeah, like, so there you got the PDF. Basically.
Yeah. The way we have it set up in our back end, we have it coming to an email address. And if suddenly all of a sudden I'm getting the results for your clients, it ain't going to work.
No, that's what I thought, but I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Well, the results are also sent to them.
It's sent to them as well, but we don't want to flood our server with.
Right.
You know, from 100 and 200, whatever people, suddenly it's like, I don't think so. Right. Plus it's confidential information. So they're wanting to send it to you, but not necessarily to me. They don't know me from a hole in the wall. All right. We have our advanced topics. Let me see what we have here. As I go back through these, it makes me remember. This is a book. Whose book is this one? Yeah, this is a good book. It's a Dickon Weatherby. Dickon Weatherby's the person that created our blood chemistry software. And it's a decent book for helping you with physical diagnosis from a functional perspective. And it's, you know, it's what, $58, $60. It's expensive, but I have it here somewhere on my shelf. Sure I do. Here it is. That's his. He has a signs and symptoms analysis. I got all of his books. I thought they were really worthwhile. So they're just nice to use as a reference when you're trying to look something up. And you go, wow, this person has this weird symptom. I wonder what it might mean. And you can look it up in like the Merck manual, or you can look it up in some of the standard medical type of differential diagnosis things. But those are like a medical approach, right? They're going to say, oh, it might be herpes. It might be, you know, this kind of bug or whatever. From a functional perspective, it might be a nutrient deficiency. It might be a vitamin C deficiency, etc. So it's a question guide. What else? That's all I had in the advanced. The done for you we went through. The next steps is a really important piece for you to spend time with, because it tells you how to practice things, right? So, practice, right? It takes time and experience to present and ask all the correct questions, to be present. Find a family or friend to go through the process. So just find somebody to take through this process and support them in their work, and it'll support you in getting the practice. And then finally, I don't know how many questions are in the exam, but there's an exam like everything else. Take the exam, and it's 30 questions. So, okay. That's it. That's it for history taking. Any questions?
No, but I have something to offer. So as I often share, that the next steps, I think, are great ways to build your business. And so with this next step, it's actually what I did, and it was shortly after I started in this program, I did a class on coming to learn to find out what your symptoms might mean. And I did it in Minnesota because Minnesota was a little bit easier. I was the red state. Yes, exactly, Jill. That was actually pretty successful. And I was able to use some of those forms and things to hand out. And it was good for me to practice.
Yeah.
And I made it really clear that I'm in school and this is what I'm learning. But it was just a really great way to help with that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just offer that. Yeah.
I like that idea. And I think that the scorecard ones, when you teach them how to score, they love that. I know some folks have done that as health fairs. Like, you have a little booth, just fill out this form. You know, maybe you take a short version of it. So you get 10 questions or something and they get a score. And then they're like, wow, what do I do now? you know, do you have a magnesium deficiency? And you have them fill out a paper and like you have an 8 out of 10 signs of magnesium deficiency. Well, maybe they, well, how do I get magnesium? And then you start talking to them. It opens up the conversation.
Yeah. So, I did that at one of our county fairs and it worked really well. So I had my computer there so they in a chair so they could sit there and they did it. But if they wanted to know more, they had to click to opt in to get more. So
good job.
I learned from you.
There you go. She's paying attention. Those are great opportunities. I know, I think it was Tony. Maybe it was, I think it was Tony that, or maybe it was Mia, who did it at a fair where they brought mineral test kit. They brought the little mineral testers.
And yeah,
that, and they gave them a score and, you know, invited them to come study, you know, some work with them to resolve their deficiencies. So different ways. People are curious. And what I've found in, you know, I've been doing this online thing for about 10 years now. And when I first started, I don't know what I'm doing. I just threw stuff out there. And what I found was that anything related to labs or genetics, people just like they gravitate towards. They want to know their score. They want to know what's going on. They want to know all the scoop behind it. And you can use that as a tool to get them to come in and talk to you and, you know, see what's going on. And you can say, well, I can do a completely thorough assessment on you. And when you offer those assessments, people like, they like it and it gets them going. I think Tony does this now where she does the blood chem. And she'll say, well, if you have a blood chem from your doctor, just submit it. $150, I'll give you a report and I'll sit down with you and explain it. And she uses that as her enrollment conversation. So once they do that, a very large percentage of them want to go further and they'll sign up for like a 2 or 3 month package with her. And it helps to develop trust. Right? They develop trust. Anybody wants to really hone in on that genetic stuff and just like offer those consultations? People are asking me all the time. And I just don't have time in my busy life to sit down with people and spend 2 or 3 hours working on their genetics. But if anybody wants to do that and be that part of the business, let me know and we'll make sure you get trained up to do that. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Is that helpful? Yeah. Okay, so these are helpful, doing these every month and kind of going through and it keeps you like, okay, I want to get in back in and get motivated to do that module. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, if there's nothing else, I'm going to run off and get ready for my next appointment, which is an interview. I got to do an interview. Yeah. So has anybody just a question. Has anybody been coming to those, any of those webinars I've been doing, the 3 dangerous mistakes webinars? Has anybody come to those? Yeah.
I have.
Have you found them to be useful? Have you found them to be interesting? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we always invite you guys. It's just like, you know, I don't know if there's just so much time in the day to be able to come to all of that stuff. Okay. Yeah, I'm learning a lot by doing them over and over. So at one point we'll have a business thing, you know.
Actually, so am I. I think I've obviously listened to all 7 of them and it's kind of like, oh, I missed that last time.
Oh, did I? You're seeing what I'm doing differently. Is that what you mean? Yeah. And then what works better.
But you know, that saturation, sometimes in these calls, you get saturated and so I'll absorb too much and I'll listen again and it's like I hear something new. So, yeah.
Good.
How many more are you going to do of the Sweet Spot webinars?
That was number 7. I'm done.
Wow. Okay.
7.
I only did the first one and the second one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Today's was actually, I thought it was the best one. I got some advice of, remember I made the offer right in the middle so we didn't lose people. And I had a conversation with JJ last night and she was like, she had all these ideas and she was getting excited then. Because instead people start to drop off when they see, oh, she's not just too strong. Drop off. And instead of dropping off, they were like, I'm like, well, who wants this? Type it into the chat. Who wants this? Who wants to have energy? Who's in? Get into a program that does this, this, and this. Who's in? And people were like, yeah, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. Right there in the middle. They were saying, yeah, I'm in. So it was really cool to do that and get them excited. And then what helped with that is then I was able to refer back to the program as I was teaching the rest of the stuff. And we go into more detail here. We go into more detail here. That's in this part, but I'm getting as much as I can today. And it went pretty well.
That's right. Were they actually able to purchase the program in the middle, or was it just
yes, they were. Because I said, basically, it's, you know, some of you, it's the middle of the week. It's probably on your lunch hour. You may have to go back to work at the top of the hour. So I just want to make sure that I give you the opportunity to get in on this, because I have some special bonuses.
Right.
Time to really explain the bonuses and how the bonuses fit in. You do a great job of that, Claudia, on yours. But I sometimes just gloss over it. It's like, oh, I'm already, you know, get past it. But I did a good job of explaining, well, traveling is really important for you. When you travel, you go off schedule. How would you like to have this thing? And then I had, what was the other bonus I had? I just went through my stuff and pulled out things to give as bonuses.
You had a traveling guide.
The SIBO one. And it was this thing. Well, can this help people with SIBO? And what about this? I'm like, I'm glad you asked. People ask that all the time. So I have this SIBO document, and it's a guideline for food elimination. And then autoimmune people are asking. So I have this, these documents that I've had from.
Thank you.
Various
hey, moments. I sent.
What's that?
Sorry. No.
Oh, sorry. And so it really fit in with what the people were asking. So I think they related more. And then I think more people bought on this one than any of the others. So
yeah, the key is what Carolyn taught us was like, you have to always sell a bonus. Like if you just throw stuff on, they're like, oh, this doesn't seem valuable because I guess you have to put all these bonuses. But if you actually explain why it's so important to know this, and I want to watch the replay of that one then.
Yeah, it should be up. Yeah, I think it was the best one so far. I think it went really well. And it's good for you guys to watch these, not from the standpoint of learning new content, but from, you know, just seeing how people react and how people respond. The other day we had somebody come on and said, oh, this sounds really good, but I can't believe you're charging for it.
I know.
So-and-so doesn't charge for their stuff. I'm like, oh, well, you know, and I just very kindly, I said, well, you know, maybe that person has some other way to pay the rent and buy food for their family. But, you know, for me, I said, I've given you a lot of free stuff. And do you guys have any idea how much it costs me to put on one of these webinars? How many of my team? I have 4 different team people. They don't work for me for free. Right? They would if they didn't have to worry about money. And I'd do it for free if I didn't have to worry about money. But, and then you know what she said? I was just like, oh, I'm giving up on this one. Well, then maybe you should get a job to pay it so you can give this stuff away for free.
Oh, my God.
Oh my gosh.
You know, we should be glad that those people don't sign up. I had a people complain. Like she wanted a refund because she's like, these group calls. I don't have time to listen to everybody else's problems. I'm like, wow, this is a group coaching program.
Group call, pay me $3,000 and I'll
go do what I want. Oh, you know, at the end I was like, you know what? Get your money and go because I don't want this person with a negative
energy. And it's learning to be real. And I said it. If you're this kind of person, don't bother signing up. This isn't this isn't the program for you. You got to be really clear about who you want to repel as well as who you want to take in. And it's really important to do that. So, you know, and you learn as you're starting to talk to people. And whether you're doing group stuff like I did or just one-on-one, I want you to learn to tune into their energy and turn into their attitude and see if you really do want to work with this person. And if it's somebody who's really grateful, oh my God, you're just so great. And you're like, I have people who I didn't even help at all, but I worked with them for a while, really digging and a little bit we helped, but didn't really get them solved. She still writes to me, you saved my life and you were the only one that stood by me. And the gratitude is just enormous, right? And then there's people who I can't afford it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But had she come across and said, wow, like the person today, I said to reach out to her because she came on and said, I'd really like to do this, but I'm on a fixed income. I'm on Social Security. I don't know how to deal with it. I said, you reach out and we'll see what we can do to work something out for you. Right. I don't want to turn people away because they can't. I want to be able to do that. But somebody comes on like expecting a handout.
You know, it actually worked in your favor because there were people who were coming out. They should say something. And then people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is a great deal for a program. I'm signing up now. So may not have been meant that way, but it really worked in your favor. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. I tried
can
to.
I say, can I ask one thing? Because there was somebody in Sweet Spot who was like, well, I really need this bonus for that. Claudia, I want your bonus. I'm like, my sister has whatever problem. I'm like, well, this is part of, you know, when she will release the bonuses, usually when the refund period is over. This is none of my.
And we're going to drip feed them out. But if somebody really needs a certain bonus, you know, they can appeal to us and say, hey, I really need that bonus because I'm dealing with glaucoma right now and I really want to read her book. I'd be happy to, you know, to do that. Generally speaking, I don't like to give all the bonuses out until past the refund period because there are people who are just, they're unethical.
I think a lot of times the people that do those, that want those things are the ones that from my experience, are the ones that want then the refund after they downloaded everything. That's what happened to me in my recent group. Two people downloaded everything and then. So yeah, you know, you get burned by those. And I feel like if they're already that difficult, I think it's important to stick to our rules to a certain degree. And then if you really feel a person super grateful and, then we can always make exceptions, I think. You're right.
The people that I like to make exceptions for are the people who come with humility and kindness. Oh, I know you probably can't do this, but this is something. If there is a way, I'd be so grateful. That's a different way than, well, you said I got a bonus. Just give me my bonus. Where's my bonus? It's like, I don't want to deal with those people. Right. Part of me wants to reach out and be able to soften them and help them with that emotional piece. That's a huge piece of their health issue. But on the other hand, I also have to protect the rest of the group, right? I have to protect it. I want to create a safe environment for everybody. And I also want to protect myself because I am very caring and compassionate. And it really bothers me when people, you know, when they don't like me or they don't, you know, they don't see the value in what I'm offering. And I mean, what I offer in that program for $497 is crazy, crazy screaming deal, right? Yeah. Crazy deal.
I don't have a refund. I make it really clear that, you know, when you sign up, you're aware that this is what the program is and all of that. But you're free to not come, but there's no refund, you know. Yeah. I just don't do that. And we also, as far as the bonuses, it's better to drip feed them, I find, because they're already overwhelmed by everything.
They're overwhelmed already, right? They're overwhelmed. I did give out the people that qualified for the Keto Challenge bonus. I gave that to them and I said, hey, start this before the official start date. Just do this 5-day challenge and that's going to get you ready for this, right? The bonus of the consultation with a coach. We already sent out the information for them to get that because it's something they're going to need right up front and we want them to have right up front. And, you know, once they have that connection, if they're a decent person, they're not going to have a connection and ask for a refund after they've, you know, taken up your time, right? You know, people have this give and take, and if they do, then we want them out anyway. We don't want them in there because they're the takers and not the givers. So, you know, it's just interesting as you open up. You know, I like to keep an open heart, but when people do that kind of stuff, I don't even understand it. You know, I just don't understand how you could be that mean, how you could be so mean-spirited, right? That's the way, because that's how she came across. Well, you're just no good and you're just selfish. And you would, if you were a really good person, you wouldn't charge me. Like, yeah, and the electric company wouldn't charge me if they were good. And neither would the grocery store charge me for my food, right? And neither would the accountant charge me to do my taxes. And do you go to work and say, I'm just here because I like what you do and I'm going to work for free? No, we can't do that, right? That's not the way the world works.
Can I say something about this?
Yeah.
That was Jacqueline, and it really struck me. I don't usually read the chats. But in this case, I did because it really caught my eye. And what I saw was a person who was completely in victim mode. And she was interpreting things through a very different filter. Mm. And she interpreted what you said in a totally different way than what you said or meant. Mm. And she reacted to that. She really was reacting, and I could just really see the victim mode. Well, that's not somebody you're going to want in your program.
No.
But she needs some help.
She does.
But not right now. She's not ready for the sweet spot right now at all.
She needs to invest in getting somebody to work with her one-on-one. Because that's really the only way she's going to get the help she needs. It's not going to work in a group program. She's just going to alienate the whole group and she's going to stay in that victim mode. But with a one-on-one with somebody who has skills in like Laura's work, right? That energy work to be able to connect with them, they're maybe able to get a shift, but I can't do that. And then there were the people who said, I'm thinking about signing up. Can I talk to you personally? Like, sure. Like, really? Yeah, you want to join EAR? And I said, well, yeah, you know, the best way to talk to me personally and get my help personally is you join ERC, that's our Energy Recharge Inner Circle. You join it at these higher levels and you get to have some conversations with me. So we have to have those boundaries. We can't just give away, you know, ourselves. And there are people who want to join a program at the bronze level and get treated at the gold level. There's always those people. We have a couple of them in ERC, right? Yeah, they want to get the full, you know, shellac. They want to get the Cadillac, but they want to pay for a Volkswagen. And that's the only way I could describe it, right? Yeah, give me the Ferrari and I can pay you $2,000 for it. Like, seriously? Yeah, anyway. All right. So there's a lot there. I'm going to get ready for my next, my call. And I appreciate all of you. And it's a world out there where we really want to help people. And there's a lot of people that need help. And some people are going to do wonderfully in a group program. They like thrive in that environment. And like people like Jane in our, in ERC, in Sweet Spot, right? She's just so interactive. And so, you know, and Marsha is that way, but Marsha, you know, there's people like that, that just thrive in that environment. And then there's others who just, we need to pull them out of that environment and get them behind closed doors and give them a little talking to. So thank you guys. Have a great one. I'll open up your line so we can say bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Talk soon.
Thank you.
Have a happy Easter and or Passover.
Yeah. Is Passover this weekend too?
It starts tomorrow. And it goes for 8 days.
8 days. Okay. These 8 day holidays, they know their way to do it, right? Nice 1 day holidays. Let's have 8 day holidays. Hanukkah, Passover, like that.
Bye. Bye. I sent you some pictures, by the way, some before and after.
Oh, good. I was going to put you in the presentation as a before and after.
Yeah, I just texted them to you, but they are in underwear, so.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if you want to do that. I'll look
at them. Yeah, I'm fine. I don't care. I look good in the end, so.
Okay. All right. If you don't mind, maybe I'll do it on Monday on our Q&A calls because we're doing two Q&A calls then.
Okay, great. All right,
great. Thank you.
Okay, bye.